Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Derek Oliver. Controversial. Chaos. And community. Spiritual. Chaos. For your listening pleasure.
You cannot tell me on the ideas what you're gonna say, what you wanna hear.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is LG Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. My co-host is Derek Oliver down in down in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm coming to you this evening in the name and only name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that was, the one he is, and the one to come, the Almighty God. We thank the Lord for letting me be on at this time of the hour of the evening. Amen. I want you to actually get your Bibles. Amen. If you got your Bibles, I'm so glad to be here to share with you what's getting ready to happen in a short few months from here. Amen. Jesus Christ getting ready to rapture the church. I know it's unbelievable to the world. The world don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. They have no desire to look into the Word of God or even pray and ask the Lord, amen. Is this the time and season which you return? It's been 2,000 years. 2,000 years is up, and we're coming into the fall months, and there are seven feast days or appointed time. These seven feast days represent seven season on the Lord's feast. And the Lord got seven, and the seven are Feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Pentecost. That's four feasts. Remember that. These are seven feasts of the Lord. Four of those feast days or feast years have been fulfilled. Absolutely, definitely been fulfilled. Passover in Egypt represent the Passover of Christ. The unleavened bread represent the death of Christ. He was sinless. He had no sin in him. This unleavened bread represent him. And then we have first fruits that represent the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After he died, he stayed in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And on the third day, he got up. That's been fulfilled. Absolutely. After Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he stayed up on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. He talked to the disciples. He proved himself with infallible proof that he was the Lord of glory, that he had been resurrected. He had proof with the nail prints in his hand, the nail prints in his feet, the scars and the welts that was on his back. He had proof that he was a resurrected Christ. He came back from the grave. That's the first fruit. After he come back from the grave, he stayed on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and he ascended to heaven. And he told the disciples to go back down in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, for you shall receive power from on high, which is the Holy Ghost, and he shall endue you with power, that you'll be a witness for me. That's the birth of the conception of the church. The church was born on the day of Pentecost, which represents the day of Jubilee, the 50th day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the conception of the church until now. The church has been on the earth for absolutely almost 2,000 years. The church has been here. The 2,000 years are up. After the first four has been fulfilled on time, right on time, they ain't missed nothing. The next three fulfillment of the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruit, and Pentecost, Three more has to be fulfilled, and that can't be fulfilled until September, between September and October. September and October, these will be fulfilled. What you mean, preacher? I mean that the Feast of Trumpets in the Bible, ever since Moses was on the Mount Sinai, God gave Israel these seven feast days. These seven feast days, three of them is yet to be fulfilled. Feast of Trumpet, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacle. The next feast days or appointed time that's going to be fulfilled is the Feast of Trumpets. And trumpets represent judgment. Judgment. The day of awe. The day of repentance. The day of remorse. The day in which there will be an end gathering of the fruits of the farmers will be gathering all their fruit in. Well, God, in this part of the month, he's going to gather the church in. He's going to rapture the church and harvest the church to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So these years that have passed by, 2,000 years have passed by, the Jews are the nation that's supposed to keep these feast days. And by them being rebellious, they lost many years of celebrating these feast days until 1948. When 1948 came, they restored the feast day. They brought it back into office. They brought it back into activity. They ignited the seven feast days, and there's three yet to be fulfilled. And let me tell you something. God is on time. God ain't never missed the airplane. He ain't never missed the train. He ain't never missed the Greyhound bus. He ain't missed nothing. He is an on-time God. And now we're living in the last days. The last days represent the last few days that we have on this planet as far as the church concerned. The church will be removed for the Antichrist arrives. Did you hear what I said? The church will be removed before the Antichrist arrives. Well, if the Antichrist is going to arise and the church is getting ready to be removed, that's called the rapture. The trumpet shall blow and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. One day I'm going to disappear. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe it. Because number one, you got to read up on it. You got to pray over this. You got to be ready. You have to have your life together. You got to be saved. You got to be sanctified before you can really get into this like God wants you to, and be aware. The Bible says, watch and pray. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day. But no man, man can know the time and the season and the appointed time. And September and October is an appointed time. God got three more appointments to make to fulfill the seven feast days: Feast of Trumpet, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacle. The rapture is represented by the trumpets. Yom Kippur is represented by the second coming of Jesus Christ when he comes back to earth. Because at the rapture of the church, Jesus Christ don't come all the way back to the earth. He comes in suspended on the air, and he will call the saints of God. Everybody that's on this planet, everybody on this planet that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified, repented of their sins, filled with the Holy Ghost, are the only ones that's going to be raptured up. Denomination's not going to be raptured up. Occults, liars, hypocrites, and sinners will not be raptured up. They will be here on this earth after the rapture. Why? Because number one, you must be born again. Number two, you must be washed in the blood. Number three, you must be have repented of your sins and turned from your wickedness and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, thou shalt be saved. You confess with your mouth. You believe with your heart. God will save you if you repent, amen, in godly sorrow. In other words, you are deeply broken up with a contrite spirit of sinning against a holy God, and you turn away from sin and you accept the blood of Christ to come into your life by the Holy Spirit and sanctify your soul, because sanctification means set apart. Only thing that can set your soul apart from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way that a man can enter in, or the only way that a man can be raptured up when the trumps blow. The trumps are to blow in September the 25th, 26th, and the 27th. The Jews are going to blow trumpets for 3 days. They're going to blow trumpets. And one of these days, one of them days, these trumpets, amen, is going to lock up with the trumps of God in heaven. And if this is the year that he went to rapture the church, it's going to be raptured up. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm gone. And I believe, this is me now, this is me talking. I believe this September, the church will be raptured up. That's what I believe. I don't tell you what day or what hour, but I believe the rapture of the church is only a few weeks away from being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and the sinners will be left here. Anybody that haven't received Christ in their life and changed from their wicked ways and let Christ come in their life, they will be left here on the planet. And that will start the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. The seven-year tribulation will start after the rapture. If the rapture of the church is right on the horizon, right, a few weeks from now, a few hours from now, no man knows the hour, no man knows the day, be ready when he comes, occupy till I come, preach the word till I come, witness till I come, amen, fellowship till I come, then the church will disappear in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Then that means the Antichrist is alive today, full grown, ready to come on the scene, because the Jews are waiting for him. The Jews believe that when this man comes, they're going to believe that he is the true Christ, which he will not be the true Christ. He will be a crackpot. He will be a phony. He will be a masterpiece of Satan, because Satan is going to use this man to try to convince people that he is Jesus Christ and try to get people to believe that they should bow down to him. And the world, listen to what I'm saying there. I said, and the world will bow down to him. The world will accept him as being Christ. The world is looking for a world leader. I said, the world is looking for a world leader. We don't have 45 presidents. We don't have kings and princes and all kinds of judges on the planet. We have had dictators. We have had wicked men try to take control of the whole world. We're living in the 21st century. We're living in the last days. The last days give us a replica of what Jesus Christ said. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Well, how was the days of Noah? The sixth chapter of Genesis shows us the condition of the world in the time of Noah. The sixth chapter of Genesis showed us the condition of the world in Noah's day. I'm going to deal with the sixth chapter of Genesis. The sixth chapter, I'm going to deal with that chapter. And I'm going to try to read down all the way and explain to you what the scripture is saying as it was in the days of Noah. And it came to pass when men began to multiply up on the face of the earth, and the daughters of men, the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. That second verse there tells you about the sons of God. Well, who are the sons of God in the Old Testament? The sons of God was angels. the sons of God was angel in the Old Testament. And in this here part of the sixth chapter of Genesis, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So what happened? What happened here is an angelic being, an angelic celestial being. Listen what I'm saying. They begin to cohabitate with the human race. They begin to have babies by these women. These angels have sexual intercourse with these daughters of men, and they beget children. And these children became giants in that day. And they were real wicked. They were real gross. They were real diabolical. And they produced giants. And these giants, this is what it said, these giants were from cohabitating with the daughters of men, angelic cohabitating with the daughters of men. Third verse. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. Well, when these angels begot children, they were wicked. And the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. So God had no desire to strive with these wicked beings, half angel and half human. And they were wicked. They could not be redeemed. They could not be saved. But they were polluting the whole creation. They were trying to pollute the whole humanity. This is what it said, fourth verse. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. In other words, this DNA from the angelic and the DNA mixing with the human being, these babies that they were having, they grew real tall. They were giants. And they were taking over the land. They were cannibalism. There were sex orgies. There were all kinds of sex escapades. There were all kinds of low-down, dirty, wretched things were going on, so polluted. Satan had polluted, almost polluted the whole human race by infiltrating on the human race by this angelic being. And these men grew, and they were men of old and men of renown. They were men who stood tall. They were men who were greedy and selfish. They were men who stand like 10 feet, 15 feet tall. And they were actually degrading the human race. They were eating them for dinner. Oh, come on now. They were wicked. They were wicked. They were sick. They polluted almost the whole human race. Listen to what it says in the fifth verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continued. Man, this was the worst generation in that time. The worst generation that ever was up on the first face of the earth for the first time. It was bad. It was so wicked that God saw the wickedness of what? The earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil. They did evil 24/7. They did evil every day. They did evil 360 days in a year, 52 weeks. It was only evil and evil and evil and evil and evil. Nobody turned. This is what it says. And he repented the Lord that he had made man up on the earth. And it grieved him to his heart. God was grieved at his heart to see what these diabolical, wicked angels had become and what they were doing. They were polluting the human race. And he grieved God. it grieved God. And he said, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created upon the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God was sorry. I'll never do this again. And see, the first time is the last time God will ever make man upon this earth. So by him making man, man had come polluted, and God said, it repenteth me that I made man. And out of the billions of people that had replenished the earth and having babies, they were doing adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, prostitution. They were having incest in relationship with animals. These giants was eating human beings. It was filthy, low down, dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking before God's nostril. And he said, I'll never do it again. I'll never make man again. Until this day, God saw a man. And he said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth, listen to me, and the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Jesus Christ said, as it was in the days just before Noah had to face the flood, the world was corrupt and filthy and rotten and stinking, and folks were killing in the days of Noah, raping. They had prostitutes, they had lesbianism, they had every foul thing that you can think of detesting God. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Violence everywhere, murdering, shooting, raping babies, and they had porn, pornography. They had beer joints, they had whorehouses, they had everything you can think of. They were killing, they had mixed marriage, they had adultery and fornication. And he said, behold, it was corrupt for all flesh had corrupt his ways up on earth. And God said to Noah, end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He told Noah to build an ark of safety, because I'm going to save Noah and his family from the flood. God said and told Noah, I'm going to cause it to rain 40 days and 40 nights. I'm going to cause thunder and lightning. I'm going to rock the world. I'm going to use water to wipe just about every human being off the face of the earth except Noah and his family. And God personally told Noah to build an ark out of gopher wood. And I'll give you 120 years to build the ark. And I'm going to destroy, I'm going to eliminate just about every human being on the planet, because they have come so corrupt before me. And they won't hear my voice. They won't repent of their sins. They won't humble themselves. They'll continually do this for 120 years. And he said, Noah, build me an ark out of gopher wood, and I'm going to cause it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights up on the earth. I'm going to let it rain 40 days and 40 nights. 24/7 is going to rain, Noah. It's going to rain. build you an ark. And to make a long story short, Noah built an ark. And he made it the size that God required him to make it. He built it for 120 years. And at the same time, he preached the gospel. He told the people that it's going to rain. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm building an ark. I'm building an ark for you to come on the boat after I get it built. If you come on the boat, you can be saved. If you stay off the boat and reject the message of the gospel, you will be wiped off the face of the earth. You will be drowned. You will be actually slaughtered by water if you don't come on the boat. You got to come on the boat. You got to turn from your sin. You got to come on and repent of your sin. And Noah preached the gospel for 120 years. And the people heckled, they jackled, they laughed, they made fun of Noah. They said, oh, you ain't nothing but a big old fool. You ain't going, it ain't going to rain. And by the way, what is rain? What is rain? They didn't know what rain was until they saw it. And the people today are saying the same thing, but it's not going to be rain this time. The word of God said that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's been gone for, what, 2,000 years. And the world is saying, where is he? He's been talking about coming back for 2,000 years, and he ain't came back yet. Why hasn't he come back? Because God got a time. God got a way. God got a plan. He's going to give man an opportunity, amen, to receive salvation, just like the people had an opportunity to receive salvation on the boat. They tell me Noah built day and night. He preached through the week. Amen. He had services, and the people would come and see the boat, and they would make fun of it, and they would say, you crazy bed bug man. You ain't got the sense you was born with. How in the world are you going to float this boat and ain't no water? But God said it's going to rain. That's what Noah said. He said it's going to rain 40 days and night. And they laughed at him. They heckled and they jeckled at him. They said, well, you've been building this thing for 25 years and it ain't rained yet. You've been building it for 50 years and it ain't rained yet. You've been building it for 75 years and it ain't rained yet. My child has grown up and grown man and got grandchildren and he still hasn't rained yet. And he says, it's been 100 years, and it ain't rained yet. Why, you fool, you. Why don't you just leave the boat alone and come on and join us? And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. But they don't remember when God told Noah, I'm going to let it rain, and this rain will rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And he said, now, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come on inside the boat. And the people laughed and heckled and jeckled until they tell me Noah had got done with the boat. And they tell me when he got done with the boat, he told the people, now watch the hand of the Lord. And the Lord called the animals on, 2 by 2 and by 7. And the animals came on the boat. And when they came on the boat, they marched up into the boat, into the stall. And when they got in the stall, the boat was loaded. And when the boat got loaded, the Lord said, Noah, hey, Noah, I want you to leave the boat open for 7 days. And if anybody want to come on the boat, they can come on the boat. But if they come on the boat, they got to forsake their ways and turn from their wickedness and come on the boat to be saved. And the people said, ha, 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 ha. Why, you mad man, you square. And don't you know God gave the people 7 days, an opportunity to come on the boat. And nobody came, nobody but Noah, his family, his daughter-in-laws, and his 3 sons and his wife. 8 souls, only 8 souls got saved, flooded. And there was a, I would say there's about 2 billion people on the planet, because in that day you lived a long time. You lived like 500, 600, 700 years, because they were multiplying. And these angels, amen, they were trying to pollute the population, and destroy the human race by angels marrying the human being. And so it was a lot of people on the planet. Don't let nobody fool you. And to tell me Noah preached to these people for 120 years. And then the year that the ark was finished and the animals had got on, they tell me God gave man 7 days, 7 days and 7 nights to pack up their stuff and come on the boat. But nobody came. No, they still was heckling and they was jeopardy. They was making fun of Noah. Yeah, you crazy. You done lost your mind. It ain't going to rain. No, no, it ain't going to rain because I really don't know what rain is. But they tell me Noah kept the boat open for 7 days and 7 nights. And on the seventh day, I don't know what time it was, but Noah closed the boat and God sealed it with the Holy Spirit. And when he sealed it with the Holy Spirit, they tell me God turned on the water fountains. And when he turned on the water fountains, he broke down and told the angels to go down underneath the earth and break up the deep. Subterranean water came gushing up out of the earth. And rain came down out of heaven. And don't you know it rained? It rained for the first 10 days. It didn't stop. It rained. It rained. And the people were wondering when it's going to stop raining. And they tell me it rained for 20 days. Stop raining. No, it kept on raining. It rained. Good God Almighty. It rained at 12 noon. It rained on 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It rained midnight. It rained early in the morning. Just raining and raining and raining and raining. It rained for 30 days. Good God Almighty. And the people began to look around and see that the water was coming up around the boat, and they begin to walk in fear. They begin to get fearful, and they begin to cry out, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on us. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. If you let us on the boat, we'll be all right. But the boat was closed. Yeah, it was closed forever. Nobody could get on, and nobody could get off. It rained for 35 days. It kept on raining until no voices were heard. People were drowning by the millions. They were drowning, and some was crying, and some was saying, oh God, you a mean God. You ain't right. You let us drown. Well, they didn't recognize the ark. And since they didn't recognize the ark and get on, it's nobody's fault but yours. And it rained for 39 days, didn't it rain, and there was nobody here. All the people that was in Noah's day drowned. Millions of people drowned. And they drowned because they became wicked. The angels infiltrated the human race. Satan said, I got to stop this. I got to stop the human race, because if I stop the human race, I don't whoop God. I don't beat God. I beat God by a margin. But let me tell you, he might have destroyed, God destroyed most of the people, only 8 souls were saved. And the devil says, that's all right. But I destroyed the world. I caused God destroyed the world by water. And the Lord said, the next time I come, I'm not coming by water. I'm coming by fire and brimstone. I'm coming by volcanoes. I'm coming by hot lava. I'm going to burn the world. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to burn it up. But before I burn it, I'm going to give a man an opportunity to come to me. I'm going to give a man an opportunity for salvation. And we know the ark was a type of salvation in the Old Testament. But now we don't have no other salvation other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our salvation now, because there's no boat can be made that can float on fire. No, it's going to be the one that came down through 42 generations that's going to bring salvation. And it took 42 generations for this salvation to come. And that was Jesus Christ. That was the Lamb of God. That was the Rose of Sharon. That was the Lily of the Valley. That was the one that was born of Virgin Mary wrapped in swaddling clothes and came down through 42 generations. Stayed up on earth for 33.5 years. And when he came, he said, I came to my own, and my own received me not. But as many received me, I give them the power to become the sons of God. And now he came for one thing he had to do. He healed the sick and raised the dead, cast out devils. He fed 5,000. He did all these miracles. Mm-hmm. But those miracles didn't bring salvation. The only thing that he came for, basically, he came to die. He come to die. He come to be killed. He come because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago to die for the sins of man, to deliver him from the grave, from the pits of hell, to deliver from Gehenna, to deliver from hell, to deliver from Tarsus, and deliver from the bottomless pit. He came to die for your low-down, rotten, dirty sins, and mine too. He died for my sins. Don't you understand what I'm saying? He died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. He took the place of the wrath of God laid up on himself. God took his own wrath through his son Jesus Christ, and they beat him. They massacred him. They whipped him. They spat upon him. They embarrassed him. They had the audacity to say, if you be the Son of God, come down off the cross. And Jesus refused to come down because he knew this was the only way that man's soul could be redeemed. He knew that this is the only way that he could live inside of man. He knew that if he didn't die, the whole creation would die and go to hell. Do you hear what I'm saying? People don't understand that. They don't understand that Jesus Christ took the wrath of God up on his own shoulders. And they whipped him so bad that he could not even be recognized as being the Son of God. He did that 2,000 years ago. And now we're living in 2021. And these days that we're looking in right now was the same days as the days of Noah. We got killing. We got murder. We got rape. We got child pornography. We got diseases. We got everything that the devil hurling at us. Amen. And men are gone mad with sin. Men don't care nothing about God anymore. Men don't fear God anymore. Men don't reverence God anymore. Men don't recognize that God is God all by himself. Don't need nobody else. Let me tell you, God is not mean. God is not cruel. God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. But God is one thing God is not going to take. He ain't going to take sin from nobody. He ain't going to pat it. He ain't going to compromise with it. He ain't going to do nothing with it but do one thing. He died for it. And since he died, he wants to get rid of it. And the only thing he can get rid of sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, because it's the most powerful blood that ever was on this planet, because it's not an earthly blood. It's a divine blood. It's God's blood. Nobody but God's blood. And by his blood, amen, in Jesus Christ, amen, he suffered and shed on Calvary's cross, but through that blood, man can be redeemed by the blood of a lamb. My friends, we're living in the last days. And we're living in the last days because now we're living in the 21st century. We're living in the last three feasts. The Lord's feast, the last three, is yet to be fulfilled. The last four has been fulfilled. I told you that already. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, resurrection, and the day of Pentecost, the conception of the church. The church has been here, what, 2,000 years. We at the end of the church age. What's the last church age? Laodicea. What kind of church is that? It's a lazy, it's a hypocritical church. It's a church that's blind. It's a church that's slothful. It's a church that don't care nothing about the cross. They are not lifting up the name of Jesus. They are not carrying the cross, because no cross, no crown. Without the cross, there's no salvation. Without Jesus Christ suffering on the cross, there's no salvation. Without him dying, no salvation. Without the resurrection, there's no salvation. When he said it is finished, that means it is complete. Now the only thing man has to do is to repent. Repent means to turn. With a broken, contrite spirit, you're broken up over sin. You're broken up over sin because you have sinned against a holy God, and God cannot take sin. He can't deal with sin. The only way Jesus Christ, the only way God can deal with sin is that you forsake your sin and believe on his name, and he can save you. Because the only people that's going to be in heaven is those that receive Christ. I'll say that again. The only people that's going to be in heaven are those that are saved, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the world now is waiting for the great event that has been prophesied for 2,000 years. And that is the rapture, when Christ descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangels. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And when Noah and his daughters and his sons got on the ark, they were sealed by God's hand. They could not get out. And nobody could get in. And the water lifted the ark up, and they were raptured above the water. They stayed in that ark. That ark was 1 year. And after the 1 year was over, they came out of the ark, and God told them to replenish and populate the earth. Ever since then, the earth has been repopulated until 2021. And now we got 7.1 billion people on the planet, turning in the universe, turning 17 miles a second. And let me tell you, it's been doing that for over, 6,000 years. And now we're living in the 6,000-year area. We're living at the end of the 6,000 years. And every 2,000 years, something happened. Let me tell you what happened every 2,000 years. Every 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to the birth of Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. From the birth of Christ until the second coming of Jesus Christ, exactly 2,000 years. And now we are headed up for the Feast of Trumpets that starts a new year, that tells the world this is the time that the world was created and made. The 6,000 years are up. And when I mean up, it's up, because the trumpets of God is going to sound pretty soon. Oh, man, I don't believe in that stuff. That's a bunch of hogwash. I go to church. I sing in the choir. I'm a preacher. I got money. I got fame. I got glory. That don't make no difference. You can have the world in your hand, as they say, and still die and go to hell. You can be the prettiest person in the world, still die and go to hell. You can go to church until your face looks like the front door of the church. You still can go to hell. You can do good things and good deeds and still go to hell. You can have money, still go to hell. You can have education, and you can have all the finales that you think that you can enjoy your life, and die, still go to hell. You can't escape hell except you accept Jesus Christ. The only way you can accept Jesus Christ is you've got to repent and admit that you are a low-down, dirt, and rotten sinner and need a Savior. And Jesus Christ will save you. He'll save you to the uttermost. He'll save you. I know he'll save you. He'll save you forever. He'll save you through eternity. He'll save you by his blood, because his blood is powerful, and no sin can break his blood. No sin can destroy his blood. No sin can overtake his blood. Why? Because the Bible said Jesus Christ came down here to bring what? Eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. That means that when Christ saved me, he saved me forever. The devil cannot reclaim me. No sin can over, take me. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. I'm saved forever. By what? By the blood of Jesus Christ and no other blood. No other blood can do what the blood of Jesus Christ does. Why? Because his name is above every name. And his name is to be called upon. His name is to be respected. Why? Because without Jesus Christ in your life, I said if Jesus Christ is not in your life, and if you have not been changed from death to life, the Bible says, if a man say he loved God and hated his brother, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. So let me tell you, if you don't know the love of God, ooh, if you're walking around hating folks, disliking people, and don't have no regard of what the love of God is, and you refuse the love of Jesus Christ to come into your heart, guess what? You're going to die and go to hell. I didn't say it. The word of God said it. In the book of Revelation, I'll stop on that. I'm gonna show you what the book says in Revelation. What the book says in the book of Revelation. It tells me who exactly gonna be in heaven. In the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, we read these words. In the chapter of that Revelation, it says in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter in the 21st chapter of Revelation, it says this. The 21st chapter, it reads thusly. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Listen to this. But the fearful, the unbelieving, to all unbelievers, people who reject Jesus Christ, all unbelievers, and the abominable, all the wicked, that do all things and gross things, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, drug addicts, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is the group of people that will never enter into the kingdom of God. These are the people that's unbelieving. And the unbelievers are called abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, to have their part in the lake that burns with brimstone and fire. So there is no way I can say in hell and high waters, ain't no way that an unregenerated person that has never accepted Jesus Christ, there's no way that he can ever enter into the kingdom of God. He can go to church until he looks like the church. But the Bible tells you There is nobody that's going to enter in. Only those that have their names written in the Lamb Book of Life. Those are the only ones that's going to enter in to the kingdom of God. So your church membership, your denomination, your credentials. I don't care if you don't give your money. You can do nice things, but you must be born again. You cannot come in to the kingdom and sit down at the table with Jesus Christ in your sins, not in heaven. Jesus Christ came down here. He sat with the people, talked with the people, blessed the people, and did that. That's a good setting, man. That's a good setting. But in order to get to heaven and sit with Jesus at the Lamb's Supper and see Jesus and live with Jesus forever and ever and ever, you cannot enter in unless you have been born of the Spirit and of the water. You cannot enter in to the kingdom of God. That's as simple as ABC. Some people trying to creep in. Some people trying to work yourself in, but you can't work your way to heaven. There ain't no such thing as working your way to heaven to get there, because if you work your way to heaven without being regenerated, you're still lost. And if you're lost, you're cut off from God, and you got to be reunited here on this earth while you're alive and accept Jesus Christ. And when you accept Jesus Christ, then you've been reconciled back to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and now you are ready for heaven. You're ready to be twinkling up and changing a moment of twinkling of an eye when the trumps of God shall sound. And the only ones that are going to understand the trumpet when it blows is those that are saved. The only ones that's going to understand what's happening are those that's saved. Those that's not saved, they ain't going to know what's going on. And it's going to be like a twinkling of an eye. It ain't going to take 3 days for Jesus Christ to wrap the church. They're going to be so quick. The people ain't going to be knowing that the church is gone. Where the church going? The church is going to the judgment seat of Christ. The church is going to be judged. And the church is going to be judged for their works that they have done down here ever since they received Christ on the planet. If you have received Christ here, you will not be at the judgment seat of Christ, because the judgment seat of Christ is not for judging your salvation. You're already saved. Now you're going to be judged for your works, what you have done while you was here on earth in Christ. And only what you do for Christ is sin. Only what you do for Christ is going to stand. There's going to be degrees of judgment. Brass, gold, and silver. That represent spiritual things. Wood, hay, and stubble represent fleshly things. And what the Christian does here in the flesh is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. What the Christian does here in the spirit is going to be gold, silver, and brass. So when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, some are going to get wood, hay, and stubble, but their soul as yet shall be saved. And those that are done for Christ will get a reward. There's 5 crowns that you can receive at the judgment seat of Christ. So when the moment of twinkling of an eye comes, Jesus Christ is going to rapture us up, we gone. After the rapture of the church, because what we're coming to the end of, it ain't going to be the end of the world, it's going to be the end of the church age. No more church on earth. No more. It's going to be born again believers that's going to be removed from the earth. That's the end of the church age. Church age is going to be done. The church done did their job. Now, the world has to face the 7-year tribulation. The 7-year tribulation is basically for the Jewish people. The Jews must answer to God, because God promised them that he would deal with them for 490 years, he's going to restore, listen, he's going to restore the Jewish nation. The restoration started in 1948. Israel became a nation. Ever since 1948 until 2020, Israel has been restored. Israel now is planning to build a third temple. A third temple is in preparation now. And they're building it because they want to bring back Judaism. Since they don't believe that Jesus Christ has already came, died, rose again, coming back again, they believe that this false Messiah coming on the scene is Jesus Christ. And God said, I'm going to give you 7 years, and I'm going to prove to you that you are on the wrong road, and you are going to accept me at the end as a remnant. So Israel now has the temple material. They're getting the Ark of the Covenant. They got the two red heifers. They're starting to build it and plan it out. And the Antichrist is waiting in the wing. Oh, yes, he is. The Antichrist is alive today, standing at 6'6". You hear what I said? 6'6", six letters in his name and his full name. Each name that he has six letters in it. The man is alive. The man is waiting for what? The removal of the body of Christ. And by the grace of God and by the Feast of Trumpets, this September is 95.5% the rapture is on its way. Because the Antichrist is 54 years old. He'll be 55 years old January 30th, 2023. He's alive today. What country is he coming from? He's coming from the ten horns spoken by Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet spoke of ten horns, and after he had saw the ten horns come up, he said, I saw another little horn. And this little horn had eyes and spoke great things against the Most High. When did this happen? In 1981, when all ten European nations, NATO, got together and formed a union. And this union is composed of 10 nations. These 10 nations is known as NATO today, the European Common Market. The European Common Market today has a full control, and they're going to give this power over to the 11th horn. Well, who was the 11th horn? The 11th horn country that came up after the other 10 horns that came, the horn that came up that represent Spain. Spain is the 11th country. And out of Spain will come a man called King Felipe. King Felipe is the king of Spain. And right now, I got a picture of him. He's on the internet. He's on YouTube. You ought to check him out. He's alive. He's handsome. He's tall. He's married. King Felipe, he called the son of perdition, born January the 30th, 1968. He's 51 years old. Not now, he ain't. He's 54 now. He's 6'6", and he's called King Felipe. He's a five-star general. He belongs to the Catholic Church. He's a Catholic. He's informed the world, New World Order. He's behind the New World Order. He belongs to the Black Cult, the Luciferians, and the Illuminatis. He's considered, his father was considered as being the king of Jerusalem. He will sign a peace treaty. He is called the false Christ. He will become the beast. He only comes to peace after he's assassinated in the middle of the tribulation period. That's the 7-year tribulation period that consists of 3.5 years. And this 7-year tribulation will conclude the 490 years that God said, I will I will bring the Jews back into the right relations with me. So he dealt with the Jews from 440 BC until 33 AD. And when 33 AD came, the Jews were cut off. And they were cut off short of 7 years. He only dealt with them 483 years. So if he dealt with them 483 years, God said, I promise I'm going to deal with them for 490 years. Then God owed the Jewish people another year. This another year will be fulfilled after the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church comes, God will cut the Gentiles off and grab the Jews back in, and he will deal strictly with the Jewish people. And through the Jewish preaching and through the Jewish testimony, there'll be many Gentiles that get saved after the rapture. Woo! You mean to tell me you can get saved after the rapture? Yes, you can get saved after the rapture if you accept Jesus Christ. Well, how are you going to accept Jesus Christ when the church will be gone and nobody ain't going to be preaching? Oh, no, that ain't true. That ain't true. After the rapture of the church, the Lord God Almighty going to bring the Jews back into power. And guess what? The Lord going to fix it that he's going to send 144,000 Jews. He's going to send 144,000 Jews, and he's going to put them up on this earth, and they're going to do what? Let's see what they're going to do. In the seventh chapter. In the seventh chapter of Revelation. Seventh chapter of Revelation says this. This is the beginning of the tribulation period. This is what God is going to do. And after this, after these things, seventh chapter, after these things, I saw four angels standing up on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. Calamity. He's going to hold back calamity. Winds up on the earth, that the wind shall not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seven seals of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom he was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Third verse, he said, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 100. All right, here we go. 144,000. God got special Jews, a special group of Jews, which consists of 144,000. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. These are Jews. Jewish men that's going to be sealed by the Spirit of God. And out of each tribe, Revelation, John writes, and out of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000. Out of the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. Out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000, out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000, out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, out of the tribe of Zebulun, sealed 12,000, out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000, out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. These are 144,000 evangelist men that God has already got them lined up. Only God knows where they're at and where they're coming from, because he's going to give the Jews, woo, the opportunity to preach the gospel to the world called the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is that Jesus Christ is coming back to set up a millennial kingdom. That's the message. They're going to preach repentance. They're going to tell you that this Christ that Israel has rejected for almost 3,000 years is the one that's coming again in power and in great glory. And they're going to preach for how long? 100, 1,000, 260 days, which equals 3.5 years, which equals 42 months. They are going to preach the first part of the tribulation period. And guess what? It's going to be a great revival across the globe. Across the globe. The whole world is going to hear the 144,000 Jewish remnant. The nation of Israel is going to do exactly what God expected them to do. And they're going to preach January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, for what? 3.5 years long. Hallelujah. And the world is going to be shaken up. The world is going to be dizzle-dazzle. They're going to turn the world upside down and let the world know who Jesus Christ is. He's a son of the living God. He's God in the flesh, manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up in the glory. And they're going to preach. Not behind the pulpit, not by tent revival. They're going to preach. They ain't going to preach motivation speeches. They ain't going to preach money. They're going to preach. They ain't going to preach prosperity. They ain't going to preach nothing but the gospel of the kingdom to let the world know that Christ is getting ready to come back. The 3.5 years will be a great success. How do I know? I'll go down to the 9th verse, 7th chapter of Revelation. The 9th verse says, and after this, after what? After the 144,000 get through preaching. Guess what? After this, I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand. These are the tribulation saints. These are the saints of God that heard the gospel after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, salvation comes to the Gentiles and those that hear the gospel. And he says this, and I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no man could number, all nations, all kindreds, all people, tongues, stood before the throne of God and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation! You hear what I say? Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and into the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, fell down before the throne on the faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessings, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and may, and might be unto our God forever and ever and ever. Amen. 13th verse. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And the elder said, I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They come out of great tribulation. In other words, they made it through the tribulation period, the last half of the tribulation period. Because the first part of the tribulation period, it ain't going to be like the second part of the tribulation period. The first part of the tribulation period is going to be a little light, but they can build it up until the second part of the 3.5 years. When the 3.5 years come, it's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be a lot of suffering. There's going to be a lot of beheading. There's going to be a lot of killing. There's going to be a lot of people taking God's people and wearing out the saints. They're going to hang them, crucify them, and basically they're going to bring back, guess what? The guillotine. The guillotine is coming back. The guillotine is coming to America. America is going to welcome the guillotine, because after the rapture of the church comes, majority of the world is going to be under the influence of the devil, and they're going to get wicked. You talk about wicked. You talk about bloodshed. You talk about a hard time, and these tribulation saints going to come through this. And at the end of the tribulation period, they will stand before the throne of God Almighty, and this is the great host of people that made it through. And when they made it through, they're going to have victories in their hands. They're going to sing a new song that the angels can't sing. I don't know the song, name of the song, but I believe I got one for you. I believe they're going to say, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's going to be the tribulation saints. And the tribulation saints can only happen after the rapture of the church, because the church is the one that's going to be in heaven, and they're going to be looking down on the works that they have done down here. Woo! You talking about a time. Listen. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes, their souls, their spirit, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them anymore, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Great God out of Zion, this is going to happen pretty soon, sooner than I think it is. Pretty soon, sooner than you think it is. 144,000 is going to come up on the earth, and let me tell you who it's not. It's not Baptist. It's not Presbyterian. It's not the Jehovah Witness. These folks had nothing to do with any consistent of the Gentiles. These are Jewish men that God has chosen to preach the last message from Israel, because Israel, God said, I'm going to deal with you in the last days, and he's going to deal with them in the tribulation period. It's going to be a time and a time and a time and a time, because folks are going to wonder what's going on, and the Jews are going to tell them, Christ is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. Satan, your kingdom is coming down. Satan, you are done. Satan, you are finished. Satan is going to be angry, because the 6,000 of years of Satan rule and messing up the world, and messing up men's lives, and messing up young folks' lives, and messing up all kinds, messing up the human race, messing up racial, messing up everything. He's a mess on top of a mess, but he's done. At the end of the tribulation period, an angel going to come down out of heaven with a great chain in his hand and going to take a bound to Satan and lock him up in the bottomless pit at the end of the tribulation period. And he's going to do what? He's going to be bound for 1,000 years. No devil will be on this planet. No foul spirit will be on this planet. They're going to be put into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And he ain't going to be able to bother nobody for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ is going to cover the world with the Holy Spirit like the water covered the sea, and we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on this earth, and he's going to bring back order out of chaos. He's going to bring back order, and we're going to have peace, 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 peace in the valley one day. We ain't going to beat the plowshares into pruning hooks and learn war no more. The animals will be tamed. Everything will come back in the rightful place with God and with man, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ during the millennium reign of Christ. And after the Lord, get with me now, after the Lord get through with the 144,000, he's going to redeem them from the earth. And after he redeems them from the earth, God is going to what? Send two prophets to do the last part of the tribulation period. And the last part of the tribulation period, the whole 28 judgments, the whole 28 judgments going to fall on the earth. Who you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about judgment that's going to fall upon the earth when the trumpet sounds. The trumpets are going to sound. The Bible says in the 8th chapter, this is what's going to happen. The 8th chapter says, the 7th verse, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast up on the earth. And the third part of trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, you see these TV series of meteorites and stars falling from heaven, burning up the place, earthquakes. Well, it's going to happen. And here we see that this year angel sounded, when he sounded, the earth and the third part of the trees were burned up and all grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain, a meteorite, an asteroid burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of water became blood. Woo! And the third angel, and the third part of creatures which were in the sea had life, died. And the third part of the ship were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of waters and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star was called Woodworm. And the third part of waters became woodworm, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. This is judgment upon the wicked. This is judgment upon the wicked. Not the righteous, because there's going to be righteous people on the earth, but God is going to protect them. But this is going to drop down on the wicked, the liars, the atheists, the rebellious, the homosexuals. Going to fall. And it says, the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that a third part of them was dark, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel fly through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by the reason of the other voices and the trumpets of the three angels, which were yet to be sound. Now, this is the trumpet that's going to sound. And every time they sound a trumpet in heaven, an event's going to fall up on the earth. An event's going to fall up on the earth. Fire will burn cities, burn towns. Why? Because God's full wrath is coming up on the earth. And his wrath is up on only one kind of person, those that have rejected his son, Jesus Christ. The wrath of God will be upon them. 9th verse says, and the fifth trumpet sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven and to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And there arose smoke out of the pit, as it was the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened by the reason of the pit. And there came out of smoke locusts up on the earth, and to them was given power as a scorpion up on the earth to have power. And it was commanded to them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither the tree only those men which have not the seal of God on their forehead. And to them it was given to them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. There's a bottomless pit in the center of the earth, down underneath the earth, called the bottomless pit. And when this fifth angel sound this trumpet, an angel is going to take hold and open up the pit. And out of the pit is going to come scorpions, wicked demons, wicked entities, wicked cohorts, wicked fallen angels that's going to come up out of this pit, and they're going to have a sting in their tail. And when they sting men, they're going to have the unction to want to die and can't die. And it's going to torment them for 5 months, most likely from May to September. 5 months. May, June, July, August, September. 5 months. Going to torment men upon the earth that have not the seal of God on their forehead. Everybody's people partying today. People having a good time today. People jumping and they're doing what they want to do, traveling here and there. Ain't paying no attention. What's getting ready to happen? Have no idea what's getting ready to happen. Don't care what's getting ready to happen. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Man cannot live like this. Within the next year, man can't live like this. Killing and murdering and raping and pornography and adultery and fornication and, oh my God, they just killing each other. Race riots and people. People mutilating each other, don't have no concern about each other. Ooh, it's going to be hell on earth. And these scorpions are going to be like zombies, make people look like zombies, want to die and can't die. Why? Because this thing will have power enough to retain them from dying. They're going to jump off a building. They're going to shoot themselves in the head. They're going to try to kill this thing off of them, and it ain't going to happen. Let me tell you something, church. This is no place. This is terrifying. Revelation is terrifying only for those that don't know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, Revelation is terrifying, but if you know Jesus Christ, it's a blessing to me to read what's the defeat of the devil, how the devil's going to be locked up, how he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years, and how all the wicked that follow him are going to spend eternity in hell. I don't want nobody to go to hell, but that's your choice. I don't want nobody. I don't hate nobody. I don't hate a soul. I hate to see people reject Jesus Christ and think they can get to heaven off of their looks or off of their mama or their daddy. But the only way you can get to heaven is through Christ, through Christ, through Christ, through Christ, through Christ, through Christ. Not the preacher, not the deacon, not the sister, not the brother. But Jesus Christ is the only way you can get to heaven. You can't work your way. You can't cry your way. You can't shout your way there. You got to be born again. Biblically, born again. Biblically, accepting Jesus Christ. Biblically, repenting from your sin. Biblically, turning from your sin. Biblically, saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. Come on into my life. Change my life. And if you mean it, God will change your life through his power of the blood. No blood, no salvation. No blood, no hope. No blood, no love. Because love comes through the blood. The soul is in the blood. Jesus Christ died, shed his blood, and that blood was what? Atonement for our sin. And by that, he opened a fountain filled with blood, flowed from Emmanuel's vein. If the sinner fall beneath the flow, he'll lose all his guilt to stain. Come on, let's be reasonable. Jesus Christ is the only way. Sixth verse says, in those days are men shall seek death, shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared to battle, and on their heads there were crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men. And they had hair, and the hair of women, and their teeth, were the teeth of a lion. And it came down the teeth of a lion. And they had breastplate, as it were, breastplate of iron, and the sound of their wings, the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. And they had a tail like unto scorpions, and they were stinging in their tail, and they had power to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is an angel of the bottomless pit, whose name was Hebrew, tongue in Abaddon, but in Greek tongue it was named Apollyon. And Newfoundland and New England, they got a thing called CERN, capital C-E-R-N, CERN. And they're breaking up the molecules, trying to go behind to another dimension called a portal. And behind that portal, there is a wicked spirits, and they're trying to open that up. They're trying to open that up so these spirits can be released, dark matter. They call it dark matter, but these kind of go along with the ninth chapter of the ninth chapter on in Revelation, and they're gonna turn that thing on pretty soon, full blast. When they turn on full blast, if they break into that portal and let these demons loose, all hell gonna break loose. And this has to do with the ninth chapter of Revelation. Because the devil wants to destroy mankind. The devil wants to destroy mankind. The devil wants to destroy mankind. He wants to eliminate God's creation. He don't care nothing about you. He don't even love himself. He is doomed forever. He is doomed in the lake of fire forever. And he wants to take everybody he can with him. And please don't let your soul be lost. Please don't let your soul be lost. If God took out 6,000 years out of eternity to come down here and die for me, when he could have let me be born and never died and went back on into eternity and forgot me like a little flea on a camel's back. But he did. He loved me so much that he died for my sins, and he died for your sins. Don't let the devil tell you that God is mean and cruel. He is not. He is not at all. Because if he was, he would have started the world now. But he is love. God is love. God is merciful. God is kind. God is generous. God is forgiving. God is God all by himself. And the devil ain't got nothing to do with him, because the devil is a cruel sucker. He don't care nothing about you, but God cares the world about you. And you need to know him tonight. You need to know him tonight. And you can know him tonight. You don't have to go through life living like this and then die and go to hell because you feel like that God don't want you. God wants you. He wants you more than you could ever dream of. And he's willing enough to just walk into your heart. Just walk into your heart and change you. And change you forever. Because you'll never be the same. If Christ comes into your life and saves you, you will never be the same. Jesus Christ talked more about hell than he did heaven, because he was warning the Pharisees. He's warning the world. He's warning this generation. And he's warned every generation. Don't go to hell. Please give your life to Christ. Don't go to hell over nothing. Don't go to hell over drinking. Don't go to hell over sex. Don't go to hell over money. Don't go to hell over nothing. That stuff ain't nothing but temporarily. It don't last at all. You want something that's going to last forever. And guess what? You have eternal joy. eternal joy forever. What is it like to have eternal joy? Never again. Never again. If you accept Jesus Christ, you will never, 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 never go home again. You'll live forever and never see old age. You'll never be crippled again. You'll never have welfare again. You'll never have to worry about a hospital. You don't have to worry about welfare. You don't have to worry about raising children. You don't have to worry about nothing but just praising God and doing God's business and doing God's work. The Bible says, the Bible says this. Chapter 21 of Genesis. Listen at this. Just listen at this. Just listen. I'm going to read straight from King James Version. Listen, just soak in the word what he's saying. John the Revelator, 21st chapter of Revelation in the 10th verse, he says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, Holy Jerusalem, Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So New Jerusalem is going to descend out of heaven. Listen, having the glory of God and her light was like into a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high and 12 gates. Woo! And at the gate, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. And on the east, 3 gates. And on the north, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. 3 gates. Now listen to this. It'll be a perfect square, 1,500 miles high. This is 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles long, with 3 gates on each direction. So if you wanted to get around the city, you would have to go about 4,000 miles. And this city, if you were placed in to the United States, it would go from Maine, from Portland, Maine, all the way over to the middle part of the West, half of the United States. That's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high. And the walls of the city, 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and gates thereof and the walls thereof. And the city lies foursquare, and the length of it as large as the breadth. And he measured the city and the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height are equal. That's a perfect square. And he measured the wall thereof with 144 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. Woo! And the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city was what? Pure gold. Pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, second sapphire, third chalcedonia, fourth emerald, sixth sardox, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystal light, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth crystal, the 11th jacium, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was one pearl. And the city, streets of the city was pure gold, walking on gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are of the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations, listen now, the nations of them which are what? Saved. You hear what I'm saying? Walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut all by day, but there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor and the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written. If your name ain't in written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says that they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will not be there. I know my name is written in there. I know my name because I've been born again. I've been sanctified. I've been redeemed by what? The precious blood of the Lamb, and I am God's son, one of his sons. Because he got millions of sons and daughters. I'm one of his sons. And I'm going to walk on the streets of gold one day. I'm going to see Jesus one day. I'm going to live with him one day. I'm going to see all my brothers and sisters in the Lord one day. And we're going to have a good time. We don't have to put up with sin no more. We don't have to put up with no race riots. We don't have to put up with no rebellion in the streets. We don't have to put up with no rain. We don't have to put up with no thunders and lightning and clouds and volcanoes. We don't have to put up with no more sickness, no more death, no more racial injustice. Oh, you live in a mansion. Woo, walking on the streets of gold. No more asphalt, no more gravel, no more concrete. It will be pure gold, transparent glass. And we will be there, and we will sing the praises of God forever. And ever, and ever, and ever. My friends, my loved ones, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I've been on here since May 2012. I've been preaching the gospel for 57 years, from Genesis to Revelation. I've been preaching redemption is the only way you can get to be with the Lord. If you haven't been redeemed tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. They're going to be crashing. The market's going to crash. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be disease. There's going to be viruses. There's going to be race riots. There's going to be civil war in this country and around the world. It's going to be in a total confusion. Why would you want to stay here and be in this kind of stuff when it ain't going to be nothing to it? Because the devil's aim is to destroy mankind. And man is destroying himself through the influence of the devil. And if you love the devil, and if you love that crackpot, no good for nothing, baboon, two-faced, spit-room rascal, if you love him, I'm going to tell you something. You're loving the wrong person. You need to love Jesus, for he's meek and mild. He's kind. He's tender. He's merciful. You need him tonight. You need them tonight because there's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. You need them tonight. And I'm just saying that the rapture might happen tonight, but I knew it ain't going to happen tonight because the Feast of Trumpets ain't got here yet. But I'm looking for it to happen between the 25th, 26th, and 27th, Feast of Trumpets. I'm out of here. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see my Maker, my Creator, my Redeemer. I'm going to see him. I want to touch him. I want to hug him. I want to love him more and more and more. I love him so much. I love him so much, I don't know what to do with him. And I know he loves you too. And if I was you, I would take Jesus right now. If I had 10,000 souls, I'd give them to him. But I only got one. And that one, I'm going to give it all to him. Because I know one thing. I don't know nothing else. By the grace of God and by the love of God and by the goodness of God, heaven is my home. I'm just an old pilgrim down here passing through. This is not my home. I got to go one day. And for those that listen to me out there, if you continue to listen to me, I don't know how long I'm going to be on this broadcast, Watchman on the Wall. I've been on here since 2012. And that would put me on, been on, what, 10 years? Yeah, about 10 years. And I've been preaching for 57 years. And I know I'm right. I know the word of God is right. Why don't you try him tonight? This is Brother G.E. Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry. The Antichrist, as I said, is here. He's getting ready to ride the white horse. That don't mean he's going to ride across the sky on a white horse. That means he's coming in a deceitful manner. But I tell you, I'm going to tell you what I believe that he probably will do. The Bible says a white horse, which represents a horse is a way of transportation. And there's two white horses in Revelation. There's a white horse of the Antichrist, and then there's a white horse in the 19th chapter of Revelation, which Jesus Christ rides. But the white horse in the 6th chapter of Revelation is the Antichrist. When the Antichrist comes, I believe he's going to drive a white car. I believe he's going to dress up in a white uniform. I believe that he's going to go into Jerusalem and sign a covenant with the Jewish people. I believe he's going to give the Jewish people a covenant that they can rebuild their temple. And the Jews are going to believe that he is Jesus Christ when he is not Jesus Christ. I believe that. I see that in the scriptures. That's what I see in the scriptures. That white horse in the 6th chapter of Revelation represents the Antichrist. That's him. He has a bow in his hand, but he don't have no arrows. So he's coming on a peace platform. He's going to speak deceitfully, but real smooth. He is qualified. Listen to what he is now. I say this one before. He's a 5-star general. He's a Catholic. He knows 10 languages. He belongs to the Black Cult. He's a member of the Luciferians. And he's a member of the Illuminati. He knows all about the secret societies. And the secret societies will link up with him because they are Antichrists. They deny. Here's what the Antichrist deny. They deny. They're resentful. They deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. They deny that. And when you deny that, you are an antichrist. When you deny that Jesus Christ was born in a manger and that was God Almighty in the flesh, he died as a man, but he was God, man. When you deny his burial, death, and resurrection, when you deny his incarnation, reincarnation, became a man, all God and all man, when you deny that, you are antichrist. And when this antichrist comes, he will deny God. He will deny the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he wants to be like Jesus Christ. So what he's going to do, or what's going to get done to him? Listen to me. In the middle of the tribulation period, which is soon to come, he will be assassinated. He will be literally shot through the head with a bullet. An assassination is going to occur in the middle of the tribulation period. 13th chapter of Revelation. 13, here's the assassination. 13th chapter of Revelation. It says, "And I stood up on the sands of the sea, humanity. And I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, humanity, having seven heads, the seven world empires, 10 horns, the European Common Market, NATO, and up on his horns, 10 crowns, authority, up on his head, the name blasphemy, blaspheming against God. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet was like a bear, his mouth was like a lion. He had all these characteristics. And the dragon, the devil, gave him his power and his seat of great authority." So he will have great authority over the whole world. Great authority over the whole system, the political system, the religious system, the economical system. "And they worship," no, let me go to the third verse. "And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed." So he's wounded to death with a bullet to the head. "And the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." And the deadly wound was healed. That means that he's going to be resurrected from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the grave. Just like Jesus done. But Jesus was authentic. Jesus was real. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the only one that was capable enough to die and been resurrected by himself. He resurrected himself. The devil is not. The Antichrist won't be resurrected by himself. What Satan is going to do, Satan is going to be cast out of heaven to the earth in the middle of the tribulation. He's going to come out of first and second heaven, and he's going to come to earth. And when he come up out of the earth, the devil's going to enter him while he's in the morgue. And he's going to get up on the third day. And the world is going to be amazed. They're going to be shocked back and forth. They're going to say, "Yes, this man is God Almighty." And in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to break the covenant with the Jewish people and desecrate the temple called Abomination and Desolation. He's going to remove the Ark of the Covenant. He's going to sit in the temple and say that he is God Almighty. And that's when the mark of the beast will be instituted. He's going to tell the world, TV, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, he's going to make an executive order that every man, woman, boy, and girl must receive the mark of the beast or they will not be able to buy and sell because he's got control of everything. He's going to make fire come out of heaven. He's going to do miracles in front of the people, and the people are going to believe that this man is actually God Almighty, and they are going to say, "What are we going to do? Are we going to receive the mark or are we going to reject it?" Two alternatives. If you reject the mark and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are going to be killed by the guillotine. The guillotine is going to be a way of executing the saints of God that put their trust in Jesus Christ. So if you refuse the mark and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven if you die as a mortal for Christ. The minute your head goes drop into the basket, your soul will ascend right to the throne of God. And for those that worship the beast by receiving a mark in their hand or in their forehead, once they get that mark in their hand or in their forehead, that means that they believe that this man is Jesus Christ in the flesh, and they will bow down to Satan. Because Satan is going to incarnate this man and raise him from the dead, and the world is going to be dazzled. And let's see what the Bible says is going to happen. Listen what it says. It says that I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Meaning majority of the population of the world will worship the beast, which gave power into the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with it? Who is able to whoop the beast? Who is able to defeat the beast? Who is able to stand against this false animal, this false dictator? Who is able to stand against Satan incarnated in a man? Who is able to stand against him? Nobody, but who? What you say? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only one that can defeat Satan. No man on this planet can whoop Satan. He can't do it. He ain't got the power to do it. Only Jesus Christ is able to defeat this beast. And it was given to him a mouth, speaking great things and blaspheming, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. The 42 months will be a period of 3.5 years that this beast will actually desecrate, tear up, kill, murder, bloodshed everywhere, guillotine, putting people in plastic coffins and dropping them in the ground. They have guillotines set up in every state, I believe, every town. And they'll be gathering these people and taking them into prisons and locking them up and killing them because they refuse to fall down and worship the beast by receiving a mark on their forehead or on the back of their hand. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. In other words, he's going to speak against the saints of God that's already in heaven. He's going to try to blaspheme God. He's just talking with his big mouth because he's done. The devil's done. Don't be left here after the rapture. Come on and go to heaven. Jesus Christ says, meet him at the cross. At the cross is where I first saw the light. At the cross is where Jesus died. At the cross is where they took him off and laid him in the grave. In the tomb, they laid him in the grave. 3 days, 3 nights, he was in the grave. On the third day morning, he got up for you. You, you, and you. This is L.O.G. Bazaar. Telling those that listen to that, yeah. I love y'all guys. I'm pressing home. I'm pressing on this upward way to try to get somebody to see that Jesus Christ is soon to come. Everything is in play. Antichrist is here. King Philippe is here. And nobody can do nothing about it. He is here. And he's here. And he will be on the scene after the rapture. This is Elder G. Bazaar. God bless you all out there. Love every one of y'all. What must I do in order to be saved? Apostle Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Or be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is all the same. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, the whole Godhead body is in Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Son. Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. All three in one. Apostle Paul said, now, if you confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Only thing you got is to say, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm lost. Save my soul. Save my soul. I repent of my sins, and I'm willing to confess you that you came in the flesh and died on the Calvary's cross and got up out the grave. I believe it, I accept it, and I receive it right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, Lord Jesus. Save a soul tonight for those that will come to you. God is good. This is Elder G. Bazard. Tune in for Sunday evening. I'll be back on to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God smile upon you. May he love you. May he keep you. And may I might see you in the rapture. God bless. Good day.